Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that can get that spot out of the carpet. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
Again, give you some first impressions on new stuff. The latest from Coldplay gets a review. And Jared attempts to occupy Cinnabon because their rolls are so sinfully delicious.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey, everybody. We are back. This is your Scope program, episode 116. Jared in the house. Adam is in the house.
Hi.
And we've got a new special co-host furiously typing away in his iPod Touch. It's Al, a music correspondent.
It's nice that you let everyone know that I have a lesser iPod than you guys.
Yes, Adam has the brand new iPhone.
I have an iPod Classic, which gives me no touchscreen controls at all.
Jared's got a Classic. He's using the click wheel.
And he also has the biggest hard drive, though.
This is true. I've often been credited with having the biggest.
Yes, he has.
Hard.
Oh. Well, I'm happy to have Al here.
I'm glad one of us is.
I specifically invited him because we are going to be reviewing the Coldplay album, and Al has a lot to say about music, and so I thought it would be nice if he could stop in, and he hasn't been here for a while. And also, last night, Jared, Al, and myself, along with a bunch of other people, went out and partied down at a northern suburban bar, listening to one of Al's favorite bands, Junk FM. They are a local cover band, Al, Adam.
All right, Jared. Al, Adam.
Yes, that is my name.
Jared's first time seeing them.
Yes.
Did you enjoy this Junk FM band?
They did a good job. They've definitely embraced the whole mashup culture, and they, you know, will just throw. Usually, it's a rap song because you can put rap lyrics on top of just about any beat. So they'll throw those on top of the instrumental parts in other songs and just kind of mash them up, and it's entertaining.
Tell us about some of your favorite mashups from Junk FM. Al, stop playing that. Put that down.
I
best score.
I did have high score.
You got a high score.
Junk FM mashups. I don't know. I guess I enjoy the Little Red Corvette into Tao Cruz, Dynamite into All the Single Ladies, and
all those people love it out there.
Yes, I think they're geared more toward like 40-year-old soccer moms.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
It's a mashup cover band.
They'll sing a song straight up, but they also will mash up a song as they go. As they go along. Yeah. So,
okay.
Like, they'll sing Jesse's Girl, for instance, and they'll sing that all the way through. But they have certain songs that they will put together.
It's like they'll do a medley.
Kind of, medley, yes.
Like
a mashup medley.
They'll play Sublime's What I Got, and in the middle play the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's
People love
theme
that.
Song.
Yeah, this was an interesting bar because, like I said, it was the northern suburbs of Minnesota. It's in Maple Grove, Adam, to give you a little...
Northern suburbs of Minneapolis, St. Paul, not quite Minnesota.
Yes, yes.
We're not in International Falls territory.
Very true. Very true. So you get to this bar, and it's odd, Adam, because you're driving through the downtown area of Maple Grove, but and then you...
Main drag.
The fake city.
And then you take a left, and then you're in all of these, you know, probably $300,000 homes with cul-de-sacs and stuff like that. I mean, you're just driving through what you would call suburbs, and then you round the bend... There's this giant bar there that's got the greatest patio in Maple Grove, as declared by Maple Grove Magazine.
And if you stop in on Tuesday, Shane, 1 pound tacos.
Ooh, wow.
It sounds like that SNL commercial where they start with like a taco and then they put another soft-shell taco around it, and then eventually it's a pizza.
I think when they were describing it or showing it, it was just in a large picture of a taco. Because it looked like a taco to me. I mean, I don't know what you do... For 1 pound taco, I think I joked to Jared that or Al that they put on like lead olives or something to get that, but it's the best I could do.
Yeah. And the place was interesting too. They had the 8-foot ceilings.
You could touch the ceilings.
It was more than intimate.
And it was Halloween. It was Halloween day, so they had a couple of buses. I don't know if you realize that, Al, but all those costume people were on buses. And I think the costume of the year has to be the sexy cop.
Oh, there were a few of them there.
A lot of sexy cops there.
Like, were they beating a Oakland protester?
No.
Okay. I don't understand why it's a popular costume.
I don't know. It's just the ladies like it with their little fake... Baton and
was
handcuffs.
It like a dildo baton? I mean, no, I don't know how you make it sexier. Yeah, just boobs sticking out.
It was, tight outfits, okay. Lycra, perhaps. And, it was interesting.
I'm going to go on record and say that I've seen sexier cops. I'm just going to say it.
Like real cops that are sexier?
Or even of the sexy cop variety. Yeah. I've seen sexier sexy cops. I'm just saying. They weren't terrible, but I've seen sexier sexy
cops.
Some
of them had decent bodies, but a bit of a butterface,
as they
say.
It was Maple Grove. So.
It was. Yeah, and it... I was.
But they came in on a bus, so we don't know where they came from. They might have come from the local women's prison. We're not sure.
Just get them in there.
Well, I'm from Maple Grove area. Let's just say they weren't from Maple Grove. Maple Grove is pretty more affluent. These were from the nether parts of...
You're saying that the typical Maple Grove woman would probably have like a Prada sexy cop outfit.
Yeah,
ooh, I like that.
A little bit more upscale.
Yeah, and drives a
like an Alexander Wang
minivan.
Handgun.
Alexander Wang. The highlight for me of the night was, and I'm going to embarrass you a little bit, Jared, but I thought it was a great moment. We were sort of sitting off to the side of the dance floor because we don't dance; we just watch people dance
and make fun of people.
And this girl who was dressed up, I would say, kind of Harley Quinn-ish.
Right.
You know, sort of like, I don't really know how to explain it, but the fishnet stockings. She was on this
kind
party bus.
50s vibe? Not even that?
No, I would say more like,
court jester?
Like,
but
yeah, something like that. That's a good way of describing it. She had a very deep laugh. So she goes, she's dancing, and all of a sudden she turns to Jared, and she's practically begging him to jump on the dance floor with him, like dancing and pointing.
Let me set the stage in the room. So we have a group of tables that are sort of perpendicular to the stage, but right next to the dance floor.
Yeah. I mean, if you stick your foot out, you're on the dance floor.
And I had been seating in a seat that if sitting normally at the table, I would be facing away from the dance floor, but I had rotated around because I wanted to enjoy the band, and I was sitting there enjoying the band.
He was enjoying it all right.
And I had not even seen her until she was in my face. I was like, wait a minute.
She literally was in your lap.
So there was not like I was making eyes from across the room or something like that. It was like literally like, whoa, hello.
And then did she say anything to you or she was just
pointing? Trying to get me to dance and she's like, come on. And I'm like, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah,
you know. And then she was like wiggling in front of me and stuff. And I'm like, okay.
Normally you like wiggling, but you don't need to see wiggling of other people, I guess. You shut her down. I mean, it was
I tried to shut her down like four times, and then her friend was joining in, trying to.
Her friend came in. I didn't see that.
And I'm just like, look, I'm not making eye contact. I'm trying to be polite about this.
Jared was
step
staring,
away.
He was staring through her.
Step away from the microphone.
You were very gentlemanly.
Well, thank you, Al.
He didn't slap her.
I wasn't
the ass.
Like talk to the hand, baby.
And you know what? I mean, she was decent for the room. I think you know it wasn't like. It wasn't like you were getting the one-armed leper girl.
True enough,
the room did get better as the night went on from a look standpoint.
Were you drinking?
She wasn't wearing it. She wasn't wearing a blue wig and a homemade Junk FM tank top.
Yeah,
courtesy that we got. The guy was happy about that.
Wow.
So anyway, I will say I was flattered, but you know, as you know, I am a taken man.
He's
so
taken.
I figured I'm not going to go out and start carousing with other women.
So. Different area and zip code. So
it's a double positive. Adam, that stuff happens to you all the time, though. I mean, especially with that growth of beard on your face.
Right.
It's very hard to keep the women away.
It is. But they understand. Also, I'm kind of a jerk, so that helps keep women away.
You'd like push her down and she's beckoning towards you. You just give her the old
women like
check.
A little bit of physical abuse. Just a little bit. You have to know the line to cross it just a little bit more.
I think that's fair. So it was a good night overall. Al's actually, I don't know if you would consider yourself to be friends with the band. Are you like concert friends with the band? I mean, you don't hang out with them in private life, so.
No, we are familiar acquaintances.
One of them did come and sing on Al's lap. He sat down.
No, on my wife's
On
lap.
Your wife's lap and sang to you?
Yeah.
Was it uncomfortable?
No, it was quite
fun. He liked it. He liked it. And you can see all the details on my wife took a great picture of it, and it's posted online. So if you're friends with Al's going right to it. So that was a good night.
It's on Google Plus or Facebook? What should I be looking
Facebook,
at
Facebook, it's out.
Friendster?
Nope, no Friendsters. Okay. We're definitely out of that.
How about Diaspora?
What is Diaspora?
How about it's an open source social network that's been trying to gain traction and is going nowhere.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
LiveJournal?
No LiveJournal.
Right.
No. So, yeah.
Or Dream Journal, which I think is like based on Live Journal software, yeah. But it's open source again.
Dead Journal.
Not based in Russia.
What does it mean when my teeth are falling out in my dreams? And then that's nothing but pages and pages of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, Shane, you sent me that link.
I think I did. So we hung out with Al yesterday. I thought it'd be appropriate to bring him into the conversation today. Before we get into the show, I want to circle back to something that happened on our episode 115. Jared and myself had a bit called "I Really Hate That Movie,"
mm-hmm.
and I covered Patch Adams. Jared covered
Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West. Adam, you were not here.
Man, I feel like I really would have liked to have been involved in that conversation.
Yeah, I think you would have.
We're going to do the bit again. So I'm not going to ask you what movie you would pick, because I think that it was kind of a fun thing. And same with you, Al. We'll let you save cool. it. But there was a little bit of a discussion on our message board and on our website. And when I say a little bit, I mean it was literally a little bit. A couple of listeners, Anne and Thos Quantos, started talking about Napoleon Dynamite and how much that movie sickens them.
Do you guys know that you're playing that same night? You and my old roommate.
What? Oh, he's your old roommate, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he organized the show.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
I thought you were being sarcastic. And
he invited us to participate. I didn't know. So
look at that. See, help. The scope is paying off.
Yes. This was a reschedule of a show we had tried to do back in late July, early August.
Yes,
but, didn't work out.
Cool.
So getting back on topic, was
his November 18th at Club Underground, 9 p.m.
There we go. He's plugging away, Jared. So Adam. Other Adam, this Adam, and Ann did not like Napoleon Dynamite. Right. Jared and I like Napoleon Dynamite. Al, do you like Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah, I like Napoleon Dynamite. So, the appropriate amount.
So what
the
is,
appropriate amount.
What is it about Napoleon Dynamite, Adam, that you do not like? I don't understand this.
I mean, I hate to reuse the same arguments that I used on the comments, but I don't know if people read those anyway. So basically, I felt like the movie was made by people that would watch a Todd Solondz movie and think that it's funny for the wrong reasons and then try to make their own version of that. So I felt like the character of Napoleon Dynamite and lead character from Welcome to the Dollhouse, whose name I always forget, are almost the same characters, just in two worlds that are constructed around them in completely different ways. And
wow.
So I've never felt the movie was funny. I was always annoyed with the quotables that mm-hmm. That came from it. Even though Ligers are technically a real thing, it was a frustrating experience for me in those years.
What about you, Al? You heard that. Is Adam on point?
Yeah, I never put the. I just saw Welcome to the Dollhouse. I think like 2 months ago.
Okay.
And now they look. I kind of felt the same way about both movies. They were. I didn't get the whole big fascination about Napoleon Dynamite mm-hmm. I think the only reason this movie I probably got from Netflix was I looked under like cult classics or something and it probably popped up if it said I liked Napoleon Dynamite. But I like good character movies though and mm-hmm. I think you find a few of those characters that are quirky enough and they're interesting enough and you think they're well acted even though the plot could have definitely used a little more, a little faster pace of it.
Sure.
My favorite, I guess my most interesting thing about Napoleon Dynamite, has there been a hit that's been that notorious yet being a PG movie being made in a long time?
Yes!
Thanks.
I think that would be that.
What's the answer?
I don't think there is.
Napoleon just said yes.
That's too bad.
Oh, where do I go from there?
I don't know. I don't think there has been. You know,
I work in education, and we, you know, it's very hard for us to find movies that
Lucky.
Are appropriate that we can play in school with kids yeah. nowadays and parents who hate everything. So, you know, you have to find something
sure.
in the PG realm that maybe a middle school kid would actually want to watch. And that was probably like our go-to movie for about 3 years.
Do the chickens have large talons?
I got to say something about Napoleon Dynamite. I actually think that, you know, you can have quibbles about the plot or whatever, but I've always appreciated the comedic timing and just sort of the path the filmmakers
yeah,
set.
Right.
Yeah, that the filmmakers did on it.
You told me to play the sounds.
I no, I love it.
Now he's always just yeah,
you
whatever.
You keep doing it. You keep doing it.
We're just not professional.
I feel like I want
to say. We're just not professional enough
yeah,
to keep up with it.
We don't have
go for it.
Like the scene that sort of strikes me is weird and, you know, funny is the dance, obviously the dance scene. But what I like about it is at the end of it, you know, they edit it in such a way that he kind of keeps dancing even though the music is over. And, you know, it had to be purely a choice of like an artistic choice. Like, why would we do that? And I just, for some reason, it sticks with me as a moment where they just try to be slightly different and slightly off kilter, and it sort of reflects the tone of the entire movie, which I kind of enjoy. I've never had a thing where I think one of the comments that was on our website was, you know, none of the characters are really likable. I don't have to have comedy movies where I like any of the characters there. I just think they have to be quirky or odd or interesting.
Idiot.
And that movie has it.
In spades.
Yeah. Maybe too much. I don't know. But I think it holds up for me. You know, there are other older comedies that don't play as well over time. Most Will Ferrell movies for me don't hold up. A lot of the Farrelly Brothers movies don't hold up. Kingpin is probably a exception to that. Maybe Something About Mary, but I haven't seen that movie in ages. I should probably watch that again.
I don't really go back to revisit those things.
This sort of ties into a bigger conversation I've had with people about comedy, how it seems that comedy in general goes in waves. You know, you have, you know, the era of Will Ferrell and it's 3 years. You have the era of
Adam Sandler.
Yeah. And he's legitimately funny for 3 years, or Jim Carrey.
And then they
sort of overload the system and then they go away and you don't really miss them because they sort of did their thing. They didn't really change and you got to have somebody next.
And we discussed it because we talked about one night we were debating, well, do you think if they did less movies during that span so it wasn't so oversaturated with that one person getting beat down your throat? And you made the point that you don't think it would matter. You think they have 3 years or whatever that time period is, and they might as well make what they can make off of it. Because
I mean, how much of it relates to like our mentality and age when those movies were popular? Like, imagine if the same Adam Sandler movies came out now and they had never come out before. And in general, reaction to them was exactly the same. Now that we're almost 20 years older.
I know, that's sickening.
I mean, would they be funny at all?
I don't know.
I have a hard time.
No.
Right. Like, I think Tommy Boy and Black Sheep are hysterical. I know most of them.
Do they hold up for you?
Yes, they hold up for me.
Napoleon shocked.
What?
So I have to question. It's like Seven Mary Three. That's a terrible band.
Yeah. But it always comes back to Seven
Mary. But at the time,
I liked that band at the time because like it was, you know, I was 16 or whatever, and it, you know, spelled the end of grunge. But
it's good stuff.
Is Tom Cruise here too?
One guy at a time.
I guess I wonder. I mean, I feel like some of them, I mean, Adam Sandler's still around.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey's still around.
And some of his movies still do all right. Jim Carrey's movies don't.
But, I mean, do they do all right or do they do well and we're just out of that perspective?
You know, I don't.
It's a crap. It doesn't work.
That's what I'd say about Zookeeper, the Adam Sandler produced. I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. Maybe we have to look at the current hot comedic group, which is sort of the Judd Apatow, Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, and you kind of have to see Michael Cera, see where that goes. And
don't you feel kind of bad for these people though? Are the qualities of the movies going down, or are we just able to dispose of things we like after so long? We just decide.
I
don't like them anymore.
You don't have to stay here with us. We're not babies.
I think it's a combo of both. I think that you know, Hollywood sees these guys doing their thing successfully in a movie.
Me too.
And they try to repeat it. They try to repeat the formula. They don't deviate too much from it. And so you see it, and it gets watered down. You know, it's not as interesting. So it's a combo of that, and then it's a combo of the fact that they're doing this over and over again, and it just keeps going
down. So Envy with Ben Stiller and Jack Black wasn't a great movie then?
Yes.
Turns out, yeah.
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 Are you still going to give your speech tomorrow?
the delayed 2 years Envy with those two?
Yeah. What about you, Jared? You've been silent through all of this.
Nah. Pedro offers you his protection.
Your take on Napoleon Dynamite and the state of comedic movies.
Yes.
That's it. That's all we got.
don't know. I mean, I like it. I still, when I see scenes from it, I am amused.
I still think it's funny.
I think that, you know, the little sound bites are freaking hilarious. Yeah. I mean, how can you not like this?
Hey, can I have one of your keychains?
did the MTV Movie Awards that year, did they use Napoleon Dynamite? Like, did they
didn't they do scenes from it?
Yeah, something like is reminding me of like how they did Rushmore one year.
Sure. Well, this will be the interesting thing. We'll bring this back to Napoleon Dynamite, then we'll move on. You know, they've got the Napoleon Dynamite cartoon coming next year from Fox, and it's the entire voice cast, the entire cast of the movie is coming back to
sweet
reprise their roles.
They're not too busy?
No. It's the best line of the day, but yes, they are not too busy.
Okay.
You know, I like Napoleon Dynamite. I just don't know how this is going to work because
it works for Beetlejuice.
Are you gonna solve crimes or
no? I mean, they actually have. I mean, you can go online and I've watched a bunch of clips from it. And so if you kind of piece these clips together in your brain, you sort of get a plot that comes out of probably the first episode they did. I don't know how great Napoleon Dynamite will be when you put him into contrived situations. You know, giving him a task or, you know, typical cartoon hijinks. And I don't know if it will be. I don't know if it'll be typical. I just don't know if it's going to work on a week-to-week basis. I'll watch it.
The Sunday night show? Like, that's what
I'm assuming it'll be on Sunday.
They only need
18
minutes, so.
Yeah.
I mean.
So we'll have to see how it goes. But I do think it's cool that everyone's coming back to do it. I just don't know how it's going to work. So there we go. Napoleon Dynamite. The answer is it's still a good movie.
You're right.
Thank you, Napoleon. So we've got a lot going on this show. Big stuff happening, guys. Al is here for Coldplay. We've talked about that. New segment that we're going to be introducing. Just kind of Jared, Shane, myself, Adam,
Shane,
everybody.
Myself.
We're going to be talking about things that we're into right now.
Before we move on, you're about to go to the bumper or whatever?
Yeah, in a second. I was just kind of letting people know what happens.
Oh, okay.
That's what we do in the show.
Okay.
I have
a question before we move on. But
okay, yeah, I've sort of said it. So Jared and Adam and myself will be covering things in popular geek culture which are relevant right now. So I'm kind of curious to see what these guys are going to say about that. Al can chime in as needed. Over to you, Adam.
So I feel like the controversial topic of Napoleon Dynamite was a good Kickstarter for comments actually appearing on the thread. So I thought a good one that we could maybe continue that with, with this episode is the always ongoing controversy of Miracle Whip versus mayonnaise.
Oh yes.
I would like to just real quickly. We don't have to start yelling. I did that the other night about this. If we want to just quickly go around and say our piece.
I love it how you're bringing stuff to the show now. It's good. You're
welcome.
It was like the writer's room in here, Jared.
We're just spitballing ideas.
I love it. Me, Miracle Whip, always have been, always will be. That might be a Minnesota thing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anyone growing up that had mayonnaise.
Okay.
It was always Miracle
Whip. Here's what
I
heard last night at a party
when
I asked this to someone that has lived in Minnesota his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Do people still buy Miracle Whip? That was the question I got from him, because he said mayonnaise his whole life.
No, I don't know. I always buy Miracle Whip. Always.
Something's wrong with you. All right.
I'm a Miracle Whip guy, but I don't eat it very often, and when I do, it's very, very light.
It's like a thin,
doesn't matter.
A thin slathering.
I just want a taste of it. I don't need it to be squeezing out between the bread.
Go ahead, Al.
I'm very neutral because my palate for mayonnaise and Miracle Whip has just started last year.
You never had mayonnaise?
I didn't like mayonnaise or Miracle Whip growing up until, not kidding, like a year or so ago.
Are you in some sort of training program?
I'm going to give you a little.
Yeah.
just
it's a trial period.
If you want to, you can also call it mayo. Shortened version of
mayonnaise. In case you didn't know.
You can call it mayo.
You can't abbreviate Miracle Whip, though.
Yeah.
Don't even try calling it the whip, by the way.
Yeah, whip.
Well,
that would just be confusing because when you're ghost riding the whip.
Ghost riding the whip when it comes to that's eating mayonnaise straight out of Miracle Whip straight out of the jar.
Oh. For the sake of keeping the sides even, then I'll take mayonnaise.
Let me say this about mayo.
I don't feel like that was authentic.
Like, if you get mayo in a, like McDonald's or Burger King, to me it almost seems like it's not the same mayo that you would get, like, a Hellman's mayo. It seems like it's a slightly sweeter mayo. Like, it's closer to Miracle Whip.
What has mayonnaise at McDonald's?
McChicken sandwiches, all that.
Filet-O-Fish.
Filet-O-Fish.
and flavor sauce.
No, they have tartar sauce. Tartar. At Burger King, you've
I don't like tartar sauce.
You've got the Whopper, which is just thick with mayo. So
isn't that mayo? Isn't that French dressing or whatever they do?
No, it's mayo definitely and, mayo okay. and ketchup are the condiments. The
well, I mean that together is
yeah. So it's sort of but
okay, fancy ketchup.
So yeah.
Well, post your comments about how these guys are wrong on
I like it.
On the thread.
You've got a new bit every week. Every time we do a show now, you have to come up with a controversial
why Shane
topic.
And Jared are wrong.
Enough said. So let's move along with the rest of the show. We'll be right back with more Scope goodness right after this.
This is the Fump. But vodka, you're my wingman. That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. thefump.com. Funny.
Hey, everybody. We are back with episode 116 of The Scope after a extra week off where batteries are fully charged and ready to go. I love it.
Can I make a reference to that, the Fump thing?
Yes, please make a reference, as long as it's nice.
It is. Lukeski was mentioned on the AV Club Reasonable Discussions podcast in regards to the Weird Al tribute album that came out a couple
really?
Weeks ago. Yeah. Does
Lukeski know about this, Jared?
I think so, yeah.
It was cool.
That's very nice. So we've got a celebrity connected to our show once again.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't stop. So today, Jared, Adam, and myself are going to be covering relevant things in the world of popular geekish culture.
Oh, yeah.
We've got three great items to talk about. And I think I'm going to start with Jared.
What?
Or do you want me to start?
I started first yesterday.
Okay. So since Adam's is different than ours, I think we should sandwich it with you and me. That's very sexy. So
with mayonnaise or with Miracle Whip?
I'm going to slather on some Miracle Whip. And I'm going to talk about
it's a lubricant, you know.
It is a lubricant. Something that Adam and I were we were chatting about before the show. It's very exciting. It's the newest game from Rocksteady Studios. It's Batman Arkham City, a hot video game found on the PS3 and 360, sequel to Arkham Asylum.
PC in a couple weeks.
It's coming out, so I'm sure that'll be very popular as well for that crowd. It's the sequel, like I said, to Arkham Asylum. That I think that came out in 2009.
Yep. It's right around the same time.
It was kind of a surprise game back then.
Huge.
There's not a lot of good superhero video games out there.
In fact, most, like, you know, the notoriously bad video games of our entire lifetimes.
Yeah, all superheroes. Starting with the Atari Superman and then going all the way.
The N64 Superman and Aquaman games.
Some of the Spider-Man games, not great. Although one of the Spider-Man games that was sort of like Grand Theft Auto and similar to Arkham City actually was pretty well regarded. But this Batman, by far the most positively reviewed game of 2009, or one of them, one of like three. And 2011 brings a sequel and another super exciting, super well-reviewed game. Right now, it's got the highest Metacritic score out there. A lot of other good games coming out, so we'll see if that holds. But definitely a candidate for Game of the Year. This particular one was written by the comic/cartoon creator Paul Dini, so it has a really good pedigree there.
Never heard of him.
And I think he wrote Arkham Asylum, too.
Did he?
Yeah.
And so you've got a lot of great voice cast. You've got Mark Hamill as the Joker. I can't remember the guy that plays Batman, but he did the voice in the original Batman cartoon, or the 90s Batman cartoon.
Nolan North as the Penguin.
Is that somebody famous?
Nolan North is the guy that does Drake. What's his Drake from
Uncharted?
Uncharted,
okay.
Yeah. And he sounds like, sounds a lot like that guy, but not in this. He
gotcha.
Sounds Australian, like
yeah.
Mr. Copperpot.
Very Australian. So the plot on this one is Batman is in prison in Arkham City. It's sort of a sprawling super prison where instead of putting them in a jail, they just walled off part of the actual city.
What could
Gotham
go wrong?
City, and just let the criminals run rampant. And
isn't that season 3 of The Wire?
I think don't
well,
it away.
That's all of that's all of Baltimore to some extent.
I'm going to be getting to that season 3 in about 18 years. Yeah. So the rate I'm going. Obviously within Arkham City you've got a lot of the cast of rogue villain gallery of Batman, so
pretty much everyone. I mean,
Joker that I've seen, Mr. Freeze, the Penguin, Two-Face,
the Riddler has a billion of his little trophies hidden everywhere.
Ra's al Ghul.
Yep.
So it's pretty exciting. And in this game, you also can play as a very sexy Catwoman, causing controversy because are we degrading women or is it true to the Catwoman character? I'll let Adam be the judge of that because he knows everything. You can play as Robin and Nightwing in some of the challenge missions. And just for a benchmark in sales, it sold 2 million copies in the first week worldwide. And it is that sort of puts it in elite company, that makes it one of the fastest selling video games of all time. This is a cool game because it takes a little bit of the Grand Theft Auto formula, which is this open world and allows you to play a superhero and move around the world freely and in all sorts of fun ways, tons of side missions, things like that. I gotta say, this is one of the best video games I've ever played, Adam.
Yep.
That's not hyperbole, that really is the truth. You're loving it. I see you online all the time. Mm-hmm. Give me your take, please.
I absolutely love it. I kind of disagree to some extent on the open world nature of it. I don't necessarily like open world games.
Sure.
I didn't like Red Dead. What was the Red Dead?
Redemption. You're
yeah,
crazy,
Redemption.
By the
Thank
way.
You.
Another
I know.
Great game. Another
I've
great
never
game.
Really liked any of the GTA games. I think I actually like structure or something in my
sure.
video games. And
do you like more of a linear progression?
Yeah, or at least some sort of, here's the path that we strongly suggest you take.
Okay.
And I feel like
this game isn't that far off of that. Come on.
I think it is, especially given the size. I mean, Arkham City compared to either of those two games' worlds is really small by comparison.
Okay. Jared, not agreeing with you.
It's 50 cubic acres.
Around.
I like it, Jared.
And so that's the only part I disagree on. Everything else, it's the most fun I've had in a video game in probably since Arkham Asylum. I feel like I'm better at this one than
sure.
Arkham Asylum, but I definitely...
Is that because you've played it before or because it's easier to
It
control?
Might be, but once I started... I had forgotten everything about combat mechanics from the first one. You know,
all I do is keep hitting a button over and over
that's
again.
That's the wrong way to
it
play
it. It doesn't
this
seem
game.
To be working
that
for me.
That is not the right way to play the game. I really like that Catwoman, even though she essentially has the same sort of moves,
sure.
she plays differently.
She moves differently.
Yep.
Her weapons are
yep.
different in a way.
Yep. And she's way faster. Like when you're doing those, yes, her
cleavage
is way better than Bruce Wayne's.
If she would have come up to, if the woman like that would have come up to Jared at the bar yesterday and wanted to dance, I would have pushed him up there just so I could take a picture of him dancing with Catwoman. But did
wow.
not happen.
Right. Yeah. When you're playing as her in those challenge rooms, basically the game tells you when to hit dodge.
Yeah.
You can ignore that half the time with her because she's just moving so quick. You can just kind of fly around the room, knocking guys out. It's great. Like, you go into a room and you're either Batman or Catwoman, and there's 40, 50 guys
sure.
that you have to fight. And if you are playing it right, you can do an 80-move combo, and it's all flows together just the right way.
It doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel fake. It feels... very natural.
Yeah. And all the moves are environmentally sensitive. So if you're next to a wall when you're hitting a guy,
you'll jam his head into a wall.
Yeah. If you're by a railing, you'll kind of jump up on the railing and then knee him in the face or whatever. It's great.
It's a pretty impressive game.
It's really satisfying to beat up a bunch of guys.
Yes.
Do you feel like you're learning a real world skill though? Something you can apply?
I don't. And I know where you're coming from with that. But I feel like I'm also playing a game, which I don't feel like you're probably going to be able to say about something else. I'm just trying not to spoil it.
That's like a foreshadowing is what it is.
So yeah, I would suggest everyone play this game.
Anybody who plays a PS3 or 360,
yeah,
this is a benchmark for
or PC in 3 weeks or
for good video gaming. And yeah, it's worth the $60. And I'm sure come Black Friday or in that time frame, you're going to be able to find this game even cheaper.
Yeah.
On sale.
And if you
$15,
probably not $15, but
can I get egg roll with that?
You want sauce for egg roll?
Did you get it from? Where'd you get it from?
I got it I pre-ordered it at Best Buy.
Okay, so you got the Robin stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't, because if you pre-ordered through, that was only Best Buy. And then GameStop had a different one.
It was a lot. That was one thing about this game. Really depending on where you pre-ordered it, you got different bonuses.
Yes. But supposedly all of those are coming out as DLC.
Which you'll have to buy, right?
Weeks. Yeah, for a cost. And I saw, and they have a Nightwing one, which wasn't available as a bonus. They have a Nightwing levels and character skin. And not character skin, that's unfair, because him, Robin, Catwoman, and Batman, they all have different stuff.
Yeah, they have different... I mean, it's not like they're all throwing batarangs
right.
or whatever.
Robin's got a staff, right?
It has a very satisfying metal clang
right,
that hits
exactly.
people.
Exactly. And he's got a bullet shield.
I don't know if I've used that.
Yeah, right trigger twice.
Wow. Something else.
Yeah.
Any special briefs for Robin?
like the Peter Pan leggings and shit like that.
There are three Robin skins.
The only Robin I've done is sort of the tough looking Robin.
Yeah, because then there's the animated series Robin, and then the Red Hood Robin.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, and they're all badass looking guys for the most part.
Just like Chris O'Donnell.
They don't have a Chris O'Donnell skin.
There is a 70s TV show Batman skin.
Oh, really?
For Batman.
You mean 60s
or 60s? Thank you. And I don't know what that was available for pre-order as, but again, that'll be part of the pack.
So, what did you get for your pre-order when you pre-ordered?
$10 off.
Okay, that's
and the good. Comic. Yours came with
no comic.
That's. But I was like, whatever. I could have found that online, I guess. But it did. It went into how Hugo Strange kind of started the whole process of getting Arkham or Gotham to say, yeah, we should give this supervillain full control over a prison, and let's make half the city into a prison while we're at it.
Including things like the police station and the museum,
the old police station,
subway station.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of comic books, since we're on the DC tip here, let's push into what Adam's been into, and I'm excited to hear him talk about it.
Okay.
So give us the rundown on what you're into.
All right. So back in May, I want to say, DC announced, probably before this, but DC announced we're rebooting everything. And they've done this a couple times, right, with the two crises.
Sure.
Right.
Not quite to this extent,
right. So Infinite Crisis and then Crisis on Infinite Earths, I think.
That was quite the interesting plural you threw out there. Crises.
Crisi.
Just crises, I believe.
So they announced they're going to completely reboot everything, and that really means they were rebooting everything. So every monthly superhero book was canceled basically at the end of August.
Doesn't matter where they were in their plot.
Nope. Well, it kind of matters.
Okay.
That's the confusing part.
Okay.
And 50...
I accidentally hit a key there.
Oh, okay, I think that's a good applause moment.
And then 52 of them re-debuted as number one issues.
Okay. And you're going to read all of them and give us a plot rundown of every single issue.
And a scope score.
Go ahead.
So I'm not, but I will say that there's a lot of resources on the internet to find reviews of each one of them. Mm-hmm. I've really appreciated the AV Club. They kind of have every week two. So every week there are 13 new issues in this relaunch. 13-ish. There are 12 and 14 in a couple weeks. And they reviewed. So two guys kind of just talked about each book. And it was nice. It was like three paragraphs per book-ish.
Okay.
So it's real easy to kind of get an idea about, you know, what each one might be about and things like that.
And how many of the female leads have been turned into sex-crazed whores?
All of them were to begin with.
They seem to be. That was a big controversy.
Well, the biggest controversy surrounding that is that before this, 12% of all the books were being run by women. Now 1% of all the books. So I think there's one book that's written by a woman now. They've kind of promised they'll reevaluate that as
after they're done cleaning the kitchen and dinner.
They've said these 52 books
and having sex with Batman on a rooftop.
There we go.
They've said these books are going to start getting canceled. They've been open. They've said not all of these are going to work, and we're going to cancel them. And they kind of like how TV networks have mid-season replacements. They have mid-season replacements ready to go for some of them.
Okay.
So I don't know if their plan is to always have 52.
Seems like a lot of comic concurrent. Books.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know what the actual usual, because they've rolled DC, Vertigo, and Wildstorm into one cohesive brand now. They're okay. All just called. There is no more Wildstorm.
There's no Vertigo. They have Vertigo books still.
Not for comic books or not for superhero books.
Okay,
they're all part of new DC now.
Yeah, they did roll in some Vertigo characters back into the main universe.
And one of the big changes that they did here is that they're now doing day and date digital releases.
Mm-hmm.
For all of these books too, which wasn't the case, and a lot of comic book shop owners I think were annoyed with that at first, but it seems like sales have actually been up and traffic in comic book shops has been up. So I picked 7 here that I really liked.
Okay.
And this isn't to say 7 of the 52, because I didn't read all 52, but I didn't find any I hate so far. Really didn't like Batwoman because I didn't understand it, but that's okay. So they're not all just like modern day superhero books. I guess we should point that out. Like there's, you know, like Jonah Hex Wild West stuff, and there's like one of the ones I liked a lot is set in medieval times. So they're not all just Batman, Superman.
I don't know if you're going to get into this through your description, so you can cut me off if you do. But how do they tie into what has happened in the past?
Well, I didn't read the Flashpoint.
Okay.
Is that what you're referring to?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't read any DC comics. So
basically what happened over the summer is that the Flash caused the Flash going back and forth through time, because I don't know if you realize
he can run real fast and do that.
And go back in time. Yeah. And it's called Force. The word force is in there. And
like
I was
the
like
Flash Force or something like that.
So he basically created 3 different timelines in history, and they had to like reconverge on themselves. And that's DC, Wildstorm, and Vertigo are the 3. Yeah.
So do the people remember things that have happened in the past?
Well, okay, I'll kind of refer to that. So anyway, some of the ones I really like. Aquaman, I think, is my favorite just normal superhero book that I read.
Okay.
Which
is never the case,
right,
apparently.
They make fun of Aquaman a lot through it. And, you know, like he sits down at gets fish and chips at some diner, and people are all freaking out. And the cops, like, he saves the day, and the cops are all like, we're never going to live this down. Freaking Aquaman helped us.
Yeah.
So they talk about that a lot. But I like the tone that they're going for with it. And, like, someone's like, you just talk to fish. And he's like, I don't talk to fish. Fish don't have the ability to communicate. You know, like he kind of goes into like what his power is to whatever, talk to their brain or make them do whatever. I kind of worry that it'll become kind of a one note thing, you know, like Aquaman's dumb.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I kind of liked it. There's like 3 different Batman books. There's like Detective Comics, Batman, and Batman and Robin. Batman is the only one that I liked from those, but I liked it a lot. It had a real good cliffhanger.
Is that the one where he's having sex with Catwoman?
No.
Hmm.
I think that's Detective Comics.
I don't like it then.
Whoa. Demon Knights is the one that I was mentioning that's set in like medieval times. And I didn't think I'd like a non-modern, you know, times book, but I really liked that one a lot. The Frankenstein book is awesome. It's kind of like Hellboy.
Okay.
He's got like his own like group of people, like the BPRD. From Hellboy and everything, and they're fighting like all supernatural monsters and stuff. I really like
that's their monster book.
Yep. Swamp Thing. I'm really
everybody
liking
loves
so far.
Swamp Thing.
I know. Action Comics. So again, there's like 4 different Superman books: Action Comics, Superman, Superboy, and one other one. Action Comics is the only one that I liked of those a lot, and it's more of like a historical, like it's telling his origin story from like 6-7 years ago because it's he's new. Again,
aren't all superheroes considered to be sort of newish?
5 years ago, they were new.
Okay.
So that's the thing. So Justice League, which I didn't like, the Justice League number 1 shows them all meeting each other about 5 years ago. And then I think everything else is kind of based now.
Modern
They've
times.
Known each other for, you know, for 5 years. And the other one I was surprised by, so much so that it made me go back and read some old issues, is Animal Man.
Everybody likes Animal
Man. I didn't know anything about him, but then I found out Grant Morrison did a 26-issue run in the late 80s, and I love almost everything he does.
Very famous run of comic books.
Yes, and that's awesome. I'm like halfway through that one now. So those I really like. Like I said, the AV Club did issue-by-issue review. They only did the first month, basically.
Are they into month 2 now, or month 3?
They're not going to review.
No, I mean in general.
October 7th or whatever, the first Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
In October was so it was they're actually monthly. So if you read a number one the first week of September, you're going to read a number one the first week of October.
Gotcha.
And they're going to try to keep it like that. So as far as success of this, pre-orders for Justice League number one exceeded 200,000 copies, and they've had four
It's reprints. A far cry from, you know, a million copies back in the early 90s.
So. Yeah. But four times they've gone back to press.
Does that include digital copies?
None of this includes digital copies okay. either. So, yeah, it's all higher than this, and I don't know why they maybe haven't really been talking about it too much. So this was kind of interesting. For the month of September, DC had 8 of the top 10 comic books of the month in spite of Marvel's new Ultimate relaunch happening.
With the new Spider-Man.
Yep. And that was a weekly book, right, sure. for September. So Ultimate Spider-Man, it was, I think, the last 2 weeks of August and then the 4 weeks of September where they had a new issue.
It wasn't that.
Oh, okay.
It was some other Ultimate miniseries
they
had.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. And
Justice League number one is the top selling DC comic of the year.
Okay.
So to answer your question.
Get to my question. Yes. That's the thing I've wanted to know
it's
for
It's still
weeks.
Fucking confusing.
So they're not saying. So they have a master plan that they're not.
I don't know because the Green Lantern line didn't reboot at all. The new storyline instead builds on the aftermath of the War of the Green Lanterns, which I didn't understand what that is. Sinestro again becomes a Green Lantern after taking Hal Jordan's ring. I don't know what that means either.
And they have all this other history that's happened, you know, like the Crisis and...
Right.
Do they know about this stuff? Does it go away?
There's been no reference to it in any of the books
that
I read.
They don't
read.
Have to, but eventually they probably will.
Right. And that's fine. If
DC's
if it
known
comes
for
when
that
it comes.
Convoluted stuff.
And I'm okay with that. But I was taking this as an opportunity to be like, sweet, I can get into DC
sure.
books now because...
It was so hard to penetrate it.
Right. That's you know, other said. Than... other than, a bunch of one-offs... I'll read a Batman one-off, when it's in trade form, or Superman one or whatever, because they're self-contained stories, but
sure.
I can't follow any of their monthly stuff.
It's too hard.
So I feel like for some of them, I'll be able to now.
And there's this thing that's been happening, I don't know if you're going to reference this, but I read comic book websites, but there's this mysterious female character.
With the hood, who
has appeared in the backgrounds of every issue.
Yeah.
So my guess is that she probably has something to do with...
My guess is next summer something will come out about that. Yeah, because she was the one that told the Flash in that Flashpoint series, you've broken the timeline, here's what you have to do.
I just can't believe that they're just going to write off all that history. It just seems like they'll figure out a way to tie it all together some way.
Yeah.
Because they've always done that. So, well, maybe I'm wrong, but...
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, again, as using it as an opportunity to get back into, some books from the start, quote-unquote start, it's great. They don't spend a ton of time doing origin story stuff, which is fine, because it's like, let's just get into
sure.
it. That stuff will come out, through,
when it comes
through stories anyway.
You think maybe movies could take a cue from that.
Right. Yeah, it's like it doesn't matter, Oh, he has some powers. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll deal with it.
Yeah. I'd say search around, find some books that had some good reviews, and just try them out. The fact that you can get them without going to a comic shop now.
It's a Joker.
Is nice. You can pirate them, I guess.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Well, Jared, I'm assuming that what you're going to be talking about does not have anything to do with DC, although you never know. So tell us about what you're into.
I've been playing a new game that I've been excited for all summer.
It's not called a game.
It is a game. There are gaming elements to it.
It's a piece of software.
But it is the next evolution in a musical video game, Shane. It's called Rocksmith. It's from Ubisoft. I don't know how you pronounce it, but
Adam knows.
Pretty big publisher,
Ubisoft.
Apparently, it's been development for 4 years, and they finally got it out the door. And what Rocksmith is a musical game that you play with an actual guitar,
which has never really been done before, like a normal standard guitar,
right? A regular guitar. So it is there is a sort of a barrier to entry for a lot of people if you don't own a guitar. If you're going to play this game, you have to buy a guitar.
Where's the green button?
Buttons.
There's no green button.
What about the blue one?
No.
What's
you could color code your strings if you wanted to, I guess, but there are no buttons. And it has what they call, I don't know if the actual term for it is, but it has an adaptive difficulty to it. It starts very, very, very basic. I mean, literally plug in the guitar, make some noise, just they're I think it's used as a calibration step as well, but it's also just kind of a, like, this is as basic as it gets.
Is that how it starts every time you turn it on?
No, that's just the initial startup. It does that, and then it gets you to tune the guitar to make sure everything is sounding right. And then you get into the first song you play. You go through this...
Smoke on the Water?
I think it's called The Journey or it's something. I don't know. But you're going through kind of a guided training. And the first song you play is Can't Get No Satisfaction by Rolling Stones. Very simple. And it starts with basically one or two notes that you have to play. I mean, it's so, so simple. If you've had any guitar at all, you'll probably go, wow, this is really, really easy.
What if you've had no guitar?
It works out really well. Okay. Because Angie's had no guitar, and she's been playing it and having fun with it. So, it quickly senses that you are performing the tasks at hand, and it starts to throw more notes at you. And sometimes it throws stuff at you that you haven't actually learned how to do yet. Or practice yet. It kind of, I don't know if it's guessing that maybe you have some guitar skill already. So I was playing Go With The Flow, whatever, by Queens of the Stone Age, and playing single notes at first, and it's an up-tempo song, and all of a sudden it's starting to throw power chords at me.
Oh.
I had never seen the notation, the UI for the power chord, but knowing how to play those, I'm like, I could figure it out. So I started playing those, and it would start to throw more of them at me. So it starts to push you, and if it throws stuff at you that you aren't successful at, it will then kind of ramp back and go, okay, you know, like internally it's going, okay, well, you're not ready for that yet.
Gotcha.
So you're basically taking guitar lessons.
You're basically getting guitar lessons. You there are a lot of, okay, there's a few different modes you can go through. There's the song mode, and there usually is a couple modes when you're in just free play where you can choose, but there's single note mode where you're just fingering certain notes and playing single strings, and then there's the chord version where you're playing chords of the song, and then a lot of the songs have hybrid version, which plays both of them depending on which part of the song you're in. There's also just straight up technique training where you can learn how to play chords, individual notes, sustains, hammer-ons, pull-offs, note bending, you know, all the different basic guitar techniques. They'll have you can just go practice it. Actually, the third version. The third thing that they have in there is like mini games that teach you specific techniques. The only one I've really played so far has been the duck one, and that's essentially you have a whole bunch of columns on screen representing each fret on the neck of the guitar, and then there'll be a duck that's going down of them, and you have to find that with your hand, play the note to shoot the duck, and it gets progressively faster and faster and faster. It was an interesting thing. I was watching Angie play it. And the first time she played it, she got a score of like 1,500. Second time, she got like 2,900. After that, 5,000. Then 15,000. Then 50,000. Each time, getting better and better and better. So I'm just like watching this going, wow, this really works. Huh. For someone who's never had any experience on a guitar, and she's able to start to just recognize. And all that is doing is building the muscle memory to figure out where on the neck those frets are. Because at some point, you need to be able to find stuff without looking at it. And that's a key thing.
Instead of paying $25 an hour to an instructor, I need to just buy a gaming system.
Essentially.
And
I mean,
and
it's
a guitar.
Some of the reviews that I've read of it are somewhat critical of its guitar teaching skill, in that it's not teaching you everything you need to learn. And obviously, there isn't. I think one part of the training part that's missing is it doesn't necessarily do a good job of showing you how to place your hands properly and stuff like that. There are some training videos you can watch that show some of that, but I don't know how they could do that in an interactive nature within a game framework to make it fun. So you're kind of left to your own devices. As long as you're getting it done, I think you're okay. And that's, I think, where if you were taking classes with an actual instructor, they would be able to look at your hands and go, okay, you need to be doing this instead of this. But overall, I mean, I felt like, you know, I'm learning something. My guitar playing is not super good. I can do some chords and a lot of power chords and stuff like that. I tend to do a lot of rhythm playing, so I don't have to do a lot of single note stuff. So I think where I'm getting to see a benefit is in my single note playing and being able to, and you learn scales. Eventually, you know, you'll get to the point where you're playing the entire song. And I think there is an expert mode where the note playback goes away and just play the song with the rest of the band.
That would be
hard. I haven't been there yet. And there's also, I haven't used this, Angie found it. There's a, like a section trainer where you can pick a section of a song and play it. And you can vary the speed on it. You can slow it down to learn it, you know. So if you're really, really dedicated on learning a particular song, you can break it down into pieces, play it back at slower speeds, and get proficient at it. And it will, like, say, you've got to play this through 5 times successfully. It'll set goals for you on that. So I'm having a good time with the game. I wish I could play it more. I say that because I've been having band practice 2 times a week, and I sort of get burned out on playing guitar.
So you don't want to actually sit and actually play video games.
Yeah, so I think that once these I get through these shows, I'll be interested in playing it a lot more. So
that's how I feel with Batman sometimes. Like, I'm going around.
You're already fighting crime.
Beating guys up so much, yeah.
Flying from rooftop to rooftop. Yeah. So, Jared, let me ask you about 3 rubs I've read on this game.
Okay.
And you can comment.
Okay.
Number one, some people do complain about the fact that you can't select your own difficulty. Does that bother you, or do you think that it's a natural part of the game? So, you know, there's not an easy mode where you just play through and you're just plucking one note the entire time.
I don't see that as an issue. Why would you want that? Why would you? I think it says it does such a good job of kind of sensing what your skill level is at that particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you would want to go, I'm just going to play easy.
Kids want to win.
But there's no winning. You can't win or lose at this. That's a failing of the game for people who want it to be more of purely a game experience. Gotcha. There's no winning or losing. You can't fail a song. It'll just scale back the difficulty, but you're still going to get to the end of it.
Gotcha. So then that leads me to my next question. Not all music is unlocked when you start. That seems to be, I've read that a few places where people would like the ability to play a Radiohead song and then...
Yeah, but Guitar Hero and Rock Band were the same way, weren't they?
No.
They used to be.
Early Guitar Hero was, but the Rock Band, I think Rock Band 2 and 3, everything's were not locked. You could play. You could just go into Quick Play and play any sound that was there.
I don't know. I haven't really tried. I've been kind of more interested in going through the journey and kind of learning the skills that I'm supposed to learn to play these songs properly.
Sure.
So.
And then the final thing is a technical aspect. I've heard that there's lag. Like sound lag, is that something you've encountered?
There is. I have noticed that there is a slight audio delay. It hasn't been enough to be a problem at all. And since you're not, like, there's no way to fail a song, there seems to be enough of a buffer built into it that, you know, as long as you're roundabouts at the right time playing a note, that it's not gonna say you didn't play it. So,
and I guess they label everything. Like, they say that in a billion spots. Like, here's the best way to. You know, go from the console to your receiver to your TV.
Yeah, I've heard that the HDMI cable has larger lag time.
Yeah.
Compared to
I'm hooked up the way they recommend, which is to use the component cable and the analog audio.
Gotcha.
There's still a slight delay, and I haven't bothered to go in. I think one thing they're sort of missing is a Rock Band style calibration tool. You can go in and you can manually select, you know, however many milliseconds of delay, but. You know, there isn't a way to just
automatically
hit it on the beat to kind of detect what that delay is. So you sort of have to go and just guess. So I guess I could go into Rock Band mode and figure out, because it'll flash up what your millisecond delay is, and then just enter that number into Rocksmith. I would imagine it'd be the same.
Help it out. Well, interesting.
Whatever.
So this is the game you like.
Yes.
Hopefully it'll increase your guitaring skills.
And I
feel like you're accomplishing something.
And I fully admit that I'm at an advantage that I have 2 electric guitars in the house. So, you know, it was an $80 purchase because the cable adds the extra cost.
A special secret cable that's making it happen.
Yeah, it's just a quarter inch to USB digital cable, whatever. Nothing super fancy, but
it goes off of like pitch or tone or something, right? It has to, right?
Yeah. It senses the pitch of the strings. Actually, it has you. So you do the initial tune up. When you first start the game, and then before every song, it actually has you strike each individual strike to make sure you're still in tune.
Okay.
So
there shouldn't be any problem, like, left-handed, like...
No, and it seems to have a pretty broad range of what it considers to be acceptable tuning, because I was listening to Angie play, and one of the strings was, to my ear, way out of tune, and it was still saying it was fine. Which is fine, because I think it would be annoying if you had to sit there and do minute adjustments before every song.
Sure.
As long as you just are close enough, as a learning tool, it's fine. But, you know, to my ear, I was like, all right, you got to get to the tuner because this is bugging the hell out of me. This A string is not right. It's too flat.
Well, it sounds like it's the next evolution in music games. And hopefully they'll have enough success where they can continue to do that and add to it.
Yeah, I'm impressed by the game, and I'm honestly surprised that something like this ever came to market. Because I would have thought that somebody, you know, in a boardroom somewhere would have said, what, people got to spend $100 plus on a guitar to play this in addition to the game? Yeah. It'll never sell. Cut it. Forget it. Canceled. I'm surprised it made it to market, yeah. But hey, I'm happy.
Retailers are going to be more inclined to carry this since it's, you know, the size
it's
of a...
It's compact.
Yeah, instead of Rock Band with its giant,
yeah,
box.
Giant box.
And I'm sure Best Buy loves it because a lot of their stores have guitars,
sure,
in them anyway.
Yeah, so you can market it together. Well, very good. So Jared's got Rocksmith, Adam's got 52 Weeks of Comics, I have got Batman, Al has got...
Junk FM.
Junk FM, which we talked about already. So we're into a lot of different things. Let's keep pushing the show along, Jared. We got music, we've got, yeah, Under the Scope coming, we got a lot of stuff. So take a quick break, back after this.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Well, I'm off to see him in concert tonight at First Avenue, so hey, why not play a track from They Might Be Giants? From their latest album, Join Us, it's a happy little song called When Will You Die? Right here on The Scope.
I'm so tired of your lies, and the evil things you're doing behind my back are the crimes that you have never committed. I doubt it sometimes, I wonder when will you die? You're insane, you are bad, you wreck everything you touch, and you're a sociopath.
Turn to the Scope, just for the hell of it.
Under the Scope. Last show, Jared took over the reins of the news, but Adam is back.
How'd that go?
I think it went pretty well.
Damn.
Well, let's see if you can top him with Adam's news.
I like Adam's snarky insight, usually.
He does have a little bit of snark. There's a lot of news on the last episode that was big, you know, the Steve Jobs death. And
right.
All, you missed it. It was a big, big news.
I wrote the news. I know.
That's right. You did.
He collected the story. Yeah. I don't think we got to them all, though. There was a lot.
Guess what? This time, not a lot.
Good. Okay, fair enough.
Well, I mean, we're already over an hour, so
good.
Keep it
all right, let's have
tight.
Our ratings. Television ratings.
Let's do it.
You guys watch TV? Ever
I've been known to watch it? A show or two.
On occasion.
Beavis and Butthead premiered.
Yes, how do they do?
Did really well.
Really?
3.3 million viewers.
That's good for them.
Second highest rated show for MTV this year after, what are those?
Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
Is that show, is Jersey Shore done now forever?
don't think
so. Or
was
it just a season finale?
They just finale it and then come back with more bullshit.
Yeah. Game 6 of the World Series was supposed to be on Wednesday, mm-hmm. but it got rained out, so it was moved to Thursday. And that completely destroyed NBC.
Poor NBC. Yeah. Great game. Great ending to a game.
Well, I mean, if it hadn't been delayed, Game 7 would have been on Thursday night, and they still would have been destroyed.
They would not have won that battle. Yeah,
worse, maybe. So
poor,
community,
poor Leslie Knope.
I know. Community,
Tom Haverford.
Watching the series.
Community and Parks and Rec had they tied their lows for ratings, 1.4. These are the shares, 1.4 and 1.8,
sad.
Respectively. Yeah. And The Office posted its lowest Thursday ratings ever.
Really?
Yeah. Whitney was up like 0.5% or
people
something.
People love Whitney. I can't stop it.
I don't get it. People love whatever. Whatever.
People like broad comedy, I guess.
Broad comedy in two respects. Jared.
I didn't actually think of that. No. Okay. Points to me.
Beavis and Butthead, not the only 90s series making a comeback.
Really?
Fox is bringing back In Living Color.
Yeah, really? I saw the headline today.
I did not know that.
With original producer Keenan Ivory Wayans as the host and executive producer, Network has ordered 2 half-hour primetime specials that will air sometime.
Only a half hour, huh?
In Living Color was 30 minutes.
Was it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or was it an hour? Is that what you're
I don't know. I just thinking? I figured they'd give them more, but what do
it
I
It was
know?
Only a half an hour.
Yeah, I think it was
Mad TV
hour.
Was an hour, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so sometime this mid-season.
The Fly Girl's going to be there?
Duh. J-Lo, probably, right?
J-Lo, what else has she got to do? I mean, she's on the same network.
Yeah, so there's an option for the series to do, you know, probably a complete of the year.
Will you watch it?
I don't know. I'll probably watch an episode.
Al, will you watch it?
Yeah.
Only if Fire Marshal Bill is there.
Yes. Jim Carrey, speaking of comedy that... a comedy career that needs rekindling, maybe this is his opportunity. Yeah, Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Jimmy Fox, maybe. He'll,
sexy. Yeah.
Damon Wayans Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Looks put him in like Damon Wayans. Like, in a creepy manner, looks just like Damon Wayans. More 90s comedy. How about that?
It's not stopping.
Revival. Fairley Brothers, you mentioned earlier.
Yes, they are
they're
hot
redeveloping
topic.
Or developing Dumb and Dumber sequel. Not Dumb and Dumberer, though.
Thank goodness.
This time with Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels set to star.
Oh, boy. I think Dumb and Dumber is a good movie.
Yeah.
I just don't know if you can recapture the magic.
Entertainment Weekly called it brilliant and classic.
I don't know if I would go brilliant.
You mean they didn't give it a B+, like everything else?
Right.
They love B+.
Yeah.
B+. It's like The Scope.
I like Entertainment Weekly's latest issue. They had a roundup of Fox's animation shows. And they were all like B, B minus, B plus, right in that range. Like every show.
Yeah.
Like, why even bother if there's not going to be any sort of discrepancy between them?
Because they don't know.
They just don't know.
Right. And then if they give them a bad grade, then Fox won't give them any sort of interview.
Oh, that's like, so cynical.
It just seemed like when you got to the end of it and said, oh, they're all about the same, why are we printing this article then?
Yep. So just when you thought those folks in Hollywood couldn't get any dumber. Huh. they go and do something like this and totally redeem themselves. Yes, dumb comedy fans. Entertainment Weekly has confirmed that Peter and Bobby Farrelly are planning a direct sequel to their classic. So the thing is, by the way, being written by the same guys that wrote Mr. Popper's Penguins and Hot Tub Time Machine.
I didn't see that movie.
Yeah. They're also writing the Three Stooges movie directing one of those.
I've been seeing pictures of that, too. That's a bit strange.
Yeah.
The nice thing about Dumb and Dumber, they can kind of just go anywhere with it, though.
Yeah.
It's so broad.
So I didn't realize this, but it makes sense. But Dumb and Dumberer was not.
It's a prequel, right?
Yeah, it was a prequel, and the Farrelly brothers were not involved in any way. Like, they didn't even produce it or anything. So I guess whoever had the rights to that. You guys use Redbox? Probably not.
Nope.
Redbox?
Nope.
I did last week, actually.
Oh, prices are going up.
What for?
Audrey wanted a movie, so we got her Rio for the night.
Rio.
Animated.
With the Angry Bird tie-in.
But you're not a Netflix guy, so you really don't have many options.
No, that was it. And it works fine for us.
So it was $1.
Yeah.
Right?
Now it's
they're
changing.
They're raising their prices starting on Halloween by 20%, so $1.20, for all DVD rentals.
I'm sort of surprised you're not a streaming guy, Shane. Netflix streaming. I think there'd be a lot of programming for Audrey on there.
When do I have time to watch it?
Not you,
oh,
Audrey.
Oh.
Like $8 a month?
When
does
she get time to use the TV?
Yeah, mom and dad are monopolizing that. It's a good point, Gerald.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Continue.
I didn't realize this, but Coinstar, who maybe you've known, you've used their services, they have the machines where you walk into the grocery store and you put all of the change in your change jar and they give you
and they
cold,
take 20%
hard cash
off of it.
And they take 20%. Those guys own Redbox.
They take 20%?
It's not 20, but
it can't be that high, but still.
I bet you it's 7 or 8%.
Can't you just go to your bank and have them do
yes.
Yeah. The bank charges you too, though.
If it's your bank, they don't charge you.
If it's your bank, they won't. Okay. And a lot of Coinstars are in the banks, and if you like put in your Wells Fargo card or whatever, they won't charge you for that.
They chew up your card and they charge you 8%.
There was this sketch on SNL back in... Excuse me. I want
Come
to say
on,
like
professional,
1990.
Yeah.
About a bank.
It just makes change.
Yeah, it just makes change. And
people
ask us, how
do we make money? Yeah. Right. The answer?
Volume.
Volume.
I was 10.
We can do some of the crazier coin exchanges. Like, right. We can give you 18 rupees for 2 pennies and a nickel.
And I was only 10, and I was like, this is a great bank. And my mom like looked at me like I was an idiot.
That's one of those classics. That's
exactly we can take care of all your change needs. You ask us for 4 quarters, we can do that for you.
Okay.
No questions asked.
So, you know, this comes right on the heels of Netflix in their terrible summer of just bad communication.
Everything that's bad that could have happened for Netflix did this
and
summer.
And Quixtar.
And Quixtar. And Netflix says they're still investigating game rentals, by the way, with Quixtar. Not with Quixtar.
Okay.
But the Netflix lost 800,000 customers. Yeah.
Haha, joke's on them.
Now,
a lot of people think it's a good investment now.
And they didn't lose my total business, but they lost money from me.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, so it's like, now is Redbox set to have the same sort of downturn because they're raising their prices?
Doesn't seem like that's that much.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to... Yeah, 20% is a big number, but then you're like, oh, wait,
it's $1.
20 cents.
Yeah.
That's not the big a deal. Blu-rays are still $1.50, and video games, which a lot of people don't realize, all Redbox kiosks now have video games, mm-hmm. $2 a night, which is kind of a lot.
It does seem like it's a lot, because you're not going to keep it for just one night.
Right. Video games are not what they used to be, where, you know, if you were good, you could beat them in a day easily. Yeah. Like, they're pretty long.
Yeah, you're putting 20 hours at least for most big games.
Yeah. Though I guess if you have the day off,
I averaged about 2.5 years.
Yeah, same way, Jared.
I guess we'll see. I'm sure that this is the same reason Netflix is, you know, redoing all their pricing, and that you know, every DVD company out there is probably charging Redbox more money now, or you know, doing the whole they can't have our movies for 2 months.
Yeah, so. and I don't know if it's part of the story, but they're also movie studios are now talking about increasing the window of DVD release to Redbox for even longer.
Mm-hmm. But now, 28 days?
Yeah. I think it like 60 days or something like that. Jeez. But Redbox they go and buy the DVDs in the store and they put them in the boxes. So I think that's how they get around them. I don't know. I don't know.
They do have agreements with some of the studios
so
for the 28 day delay.
Okay. So they may bump that up and whatever. You know, studios are starting to realize that they hold the keys for this stuff. That's what's hurting Netflix so much.
I don't think
it's hurting Netflix that much.
Yeah, I mean they're still making.
Well, Netflix has to pay money to get that content, though. Is what I'm saying.
Right.
So that's an issue, and if they want to charge more money, then there you go.
I mean, at a certain point here, we just start to see '90s music piracy, but of movies.
Sure.
If they're all stupid about it. Do you guys know Bangkok is completely flooded?
I saw a little bit of that.
I was looking online for a hard drive the other day, and I'm like, oh, this hard drive that used to be $70 is now $130.
Yes.
Huh.
Oh, really? That's the cause of that.
That is
a big Western Digital plant got flooded and
pretty much all RAM and hard drive platters are made in the industrial areas of Thailand surrounding Bangkok. So I haven't seen like anything on the news about this, so you guys are doing a better job than I am watching the news for stories. But basically the last 2 weeks the main river has been at critical stages, and pretty much the entire city is under whatever half a meter to 2 meters of water equals.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So that's pretty shitty. And just as like a size comparison, Bangkok, 14.5 million people. New York, 18 million, and I forget what New Orleans is. Way less. So
it
gives you some idea. But yeah,
it's always fun how Adam sprinkles in the happy stories.
All right, how about this? Are you going to get Modern Warfare 3?
Yes, it's already pre-ordered.
What about you guys?
No.
You
don't have any, on the PS1, I don't have any of them.
PS1 version?
not a thing. So the biggest competitor to that is Battlefield 3,
yes.
which launched this past Tuesday.
A lot of fighting between those two game companies.
Yeah. Nonstop.
EA and Activision.
Yes. Well, Battlefield 3 has launched. Sold really, really well. Not, Modern Warfare.
It did sell well.
Sold well. It's weird. And no one on the PC or Xbox could play online for the first day and a half.
And that's
days.
The only part of the game that has been reviewed well is
yes.
the online multiplayer.
That
component.
Is true. And the funny thing is, or not funny, is that the last two Battlefield games to come to the console, Battlefield 1943 and Battlefield Bad Company 2, had the exact same problems.
They didn't learn their lesson.
In fact, some website took like the Twitter posts for all three of these launches to where they were like, we're investigating, and they were almost word for word exactly the same.
Oh,
like,
geez.
Unprecedented demand, we're sorry, getting them back online, full support, all that sort of stuff. The other thing is that pre-orders of Battlefield 3 for the PS3 were supposed to come with Battlefield 1943, which is, I don't know, an old one. But they didn't. And no one told anyone. And so instead, EA said, okay, well, to fix this, we're releasing all DLC for the PS3 version of Battlefield 3 a week before the Xbox and PC. But they announced that back in July. So that was already like kind of like a known deal. So there, I guess it's just like, we forgot and we're not going to fix it. And lastly, video game stuff. Blizzard introduced Panda Men for the next World of Warcraft expansion.
What does that mean?
The little you can be a
Panda Men,
like Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, like Kung Fu Panda.
Wow.
Like little men that are pandas.
Wow. You're long out of that, aren't you?
6 months or so.
How many more people will make an exodus now?
Panda Men is the breaking point.
And Pokemon. There's also Pokemon battles in it.
What?
So I don't know. They had to introduce something. The Old Republic. Come soon. Theoretically, that's their biggest competitor.
And that's going to cause some damage.
I don't know. We'll see. I'll play it.
Of course you will.
Star Wars, MMO. Good. That's my review.
All right.
All right. News is over, folks. The time you've all been waiting for. A legitimate review. Adam gets to talk some more. Al gets to chime in.
I think our last one was Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
That was our last review.
Yeah.
I've watched it since
then. I mean, we did, like, Shane and I did movie reviews over the summer. Yeah, yeah. And
but nothing
like
where it was
but
in the show.
Yeah, in the framework of the show.
Well, this is exciting.
Well, I have watched that show since then, so can we just instead of doing this, let's just review the review?
I think we gave it, do we give it four
We gave
stars?
It, like, 3 3/4 or something. It was very, very hot.
Adam's out. Al's out of here.
Why haven't you watched it, Al? Let's do it.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Now that we've changed formats.
Thanks, guys. Now that we've changed...
Now that we've changed formats to adult contemporary, we'll be looking at Coldplay's latest album, Milo Xyloto. Did I get it right?
I think so.
All right, sweet. It rhymes. It's all. That's my biggest challenge there.
Milo Xyloto?
Xyloto? This is the fifth studio album from the rock band from...
Oh, here
London.
We go. Just peppering in...
If you're not familiar with the band, Coldplay was known for heavy rock ballads, but reinvented themselves more or less a few years ago. This is probably good timing, especially given the hilarious details of a Seattle woman beating a man in a karaoke bar when he refused to stop singing the band's 2000 hit, Yellow. Today's Coldplay does sound significantly different from the band from 10 years ago, and much of that can be attributed to Brian Eno's work on the last two albums. Eno has brought a lot of electronic dance sounds to many of the songs on this latest album, especially the stomping beats heard during the first single, Every Teardrop is a Waterfall. Let's take a listen. After the stories and subsequent lawsuits of the band stealing melodies from their last album, you might be surprised to learn, or not surprised, to learn that it's happened again with this album, as a Vietnamese singer has claimed the same thing regarding the track Princess of China this time around. Personally, I blame Gwyneth. Speaking of Princess of China, it represents the biggest collaboration with the band and another artist on the album. This time, Rihanna adds vocals. Here's a clip from that. Jeez,
that was harsh.
Way more scathing than any of the comments I put in here. The album was released in early October and has been a commercial success so far for the band, despite some mixed reviews. It's the fastest selling album in the UK for the year and debuted number one on the Billboard 200, selling almost 500,000 records.
Isn't that crazy that a 500,000 records is easily a number one record?
Yeah.
Ten years ago, it'd be 5 million records. I mean... NSYNC and those guys are 3 million or whatever they put out. Insane. Is that it?
Yep.
So
NSYNC was like 15 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Let's give it a scope score.
We're done.
Wow.
I'm looking.
Come on, Al. You're here to contribute something.
I'm looking at Al right now because I think that he's got to really put his stamp on this review. You are a Coldplay apologist, admitted.
Yeah.
You love them. I like them. I like them a lot. But I invited you here specifically for this album. Tell us, what do you think?
I don't know if this is the word, but I found the album like plasticky. Plasticky, like
in terms of the production value.
Yeah, like the last album.
Nothing organic about
it. The last album was like organic or more earthy, and then these ones just sounded like plasticky.
I can understand that. Yeah,
even just the certain tings or the. I don't know, it just wasn't doing anything right. I was wishing on the first clip for Every Teardrop is a Waterfall. I'm going to make my second Tal Cruz Dynamite reference today. But
that's all we have here.
Yeah, but the verses sound like he's singing basically the chorus of that song.
Yep.
And I was like, haven't they learned already from people blaming them and ripping them off that this is not the way to go? Next bullet point I have, Hurts Like Heaven. I want to punch him for saying... I can't remember the lyric now, but it hurts like heaven. My love's like
he's not a great lyricist.
And he never was, but I never wanted to punch him in the face for singing and it hurts like my love is a weapon or my heart is a weapon and it hurts like heaven. That was a head scratcher. But I'm trying to keep this quick. Us Against the World is probably like the only legit song on the album, and the other hits on the album I don't like because, like I said, they sound tingy or they sound just not right. And then the last note I really have on here, Princess of China, which was the song with Rihanna, might be the best song. But it's a Rihanna song with Coldplay backing them up.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that song is, when you talk about a head scratcher, is the biggest one for me because, like you said, I like the song. But it feels like a sellout song. And maybe that's not the intention. Maybe that was the intention. Like, oh, we think Rihanna's a talent and we want to sing with her. But it feels like we're building this to be on top 40 radio. And we wanna have a crossover.
And you know what? They have a version of the song Lost with Jay-Z from their the EP they put out. And it just seemed like that's maybe where this song would have fit. Or, like I said, it actually sounds like a song that should be on Rihanna's record.
Album with Chris Martin on there singing.
Yeah, I just but I'm not gonna. I don't want to take anything away from it because I think it works. I think it works as a top 40 hit, and it's, in my opinion, the one or number one or number two on this album as the best song.
It's a good Rihanna song compared to her other Umbrella.
Do I like the album? No. It's a disappointment.
Jared.
Yeah, I agree with a lot with that Adam says. I can't give
I didn't say any of it.
I mean, I'm sorry, Elsa.
You're reading his mind.
I can't give kudos to the Rihanna song because I have a great dislike for Rihanna, and it colors everything I hear from her. So, and while it may be a good top 40 song, it has Rihanna on it, so therefore I must dislike it.
It's fair. You're honest about it, Jared. You're honest.
I was bored listening to this album, you know, and I've only gone through it a couple times so far. And usually when I'm reviewing an album, I don't look at song titles. I don't necessarily pay that much attention to lyrics, but I'm kind of looking for that song or that songs that stick out and have some pop hooks that I might respond to, something that's memorable. And gosh, there really wasn't anything on this.
Does it remind you of the last U2 album where you like parts of songs were kind of maybe thinking, God, this could be working, but it's not.
That's a perfect parallel.
Yeah,
like the last U2
album. Did Brian Eno do that too? Was that Brian Eno?
I think he did help on it.
The last U2 album had like moments where like this could turn into something, but then it doesn't. Yeah. You know, it just sounds like echoes of U2, and that's the same with this album. It's like echoes of Coldplay, but none of the stuff that I really like about Coldplay rises to the top.
You still get some of the contemporary Coldplay instrumentation, but then you know, like you said. And when you're talking about it being plastic, there's all these electronic elements now. Yeah. And I don't know if that's them just trying to push their sound, kind of like how U2 did eventually, trying to push their sound into a different direction, or if they're just capitalizing on what is currently on trend for music, which is, you know.
And no, that sound would work. The songs that sound like that just aren't good enough. And
yeah,
there are a couple of songs on the album, to me, that have that earthy feel, but then they're their weakest songs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's a song that's like the second to the last one on the album. Actually, is probably for me one of the better songs. I can't remember the name of it, but that felt more like a regular Coldplay song, just in the dynamics and the arrangement. And,
Don't Let It Break Your Heart. I think that's the song you're talking about.
And the opening song is okay, but it's an opening song. It doesn't. I don't know.
And please run in your intros into the song. Just have it all one track.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I can't stand three tracks that are 20 seconds, and I just.
It's a weird artistic choice.
Well, I know. If it's meant to be all together, put it all together. You know, the kids can learn to listen to 40 seconds of music before the burst starts.
What? No way. So overall, for me, it was just, you know, not a great album. And even the songs, the singles that have been on there so far or that have been released, I find myself liking them less and less each time I hear them. So, I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I'm with you guys. I don't have a problem with the band trying to change or adapt their sound over time, but it's got to work, and it doesn't need to be a forced thing, which is what this feels like to me. You know, for as long as we've been waiting for this album to come out, because you know, Al and I are in Pins and Needles, you would think that there would have been something here more to grab onto and a natural evolution, a natural progression, and it's not there. And like Jared said, you know, you listen to any music, but especially for me in Coldplay, I'm always sort of waiting for that moment. Like, you know, they'll release their first single off the album, but it's always a deeper track in there that like strikes me. You know, it's like a moving sort of thing. I don't even know how to explain it. And they've had one of those on every album that they've done. Like this is a legitimate awesome song, and this album doesn't have anything like that. There's nothing on it where I want to listen to it and say I need to listen to the song over and over again, much like the last U2 album, which was like, you know, probably the last two U2 albums have been closer to that. But speaking of two bands that Adam hates, but I think there's parallels there that you can draw.
Like you said, though, the sound has nothing to do with it for me. It's just the songs aren't good enough.
Yeah, you have to have better songs.
Yeah.
And if they're better, you know, wherever the sound goes from there, you know, it's either going to work or it's not going to work, and it's a whole mess of nothing. Adam.
The only thing I'll add is that when I first started listening to it, like that the first track, I was worried at first because I thought I might be liking a Coldplay album or song.
Can't let
because
that happen.
I like the beats. Like, those are driving beats. And it all falls apart real fast. So,
yeah. Well, the first,
there's no consistent narrative in the sound.
Well, and it's weird because they call it a concept album.
Yeah. So, well, it is conceptually all over the place. Well. That's the problem.
Okay.
Well, the Heart's Like a Heaven song, I mean, if it was done right with a halfway decent lyric, would be like a top-notch, like, Postal Service.
Sure. Yeah, they had a Postal Service song,
or like
song
Block
to
Party
it.
Or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they had, you know, not Chris Martin doing it, singing it, and someone else, we would just file it right under, you know, BD rock song.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, unsurprising. I mean, I realize that I'm predisposed to not like them, and
wouldn't it have been nice though if you listened and you're like, wow, they actually turned something out that I enjoy.
Yes, and for what it's
you always
worth,
want to go in and be
I always like getting a quick Mandy review of, mm-hmm. of these things, just because we have similar, but she's more definitely welcoming of whatever
mainstream
power poppy, mainstream. Even top 40 radio type
That's
music.
The estrogen speaking.
That's all estrogen.
And we were like halfway through this album. We were driving all the way up to
Chanhassen. I love how
Chanhassen.
You guys share. You share the moment.
We were driving to Chanhassen yesterday. So that takes a while. And yes, we were probably like six Paisley or seven Park. Albums, songs in. And she was like, this is terrible. Like she asked, she loves 2000 Coldplay. I mean, you know, she loved Yellow and stuff, or loves it, probably should say.
She hasn't stopped loving it.
She was like, let's just listen to something else. You have to review this on your own time.
And I'm so negative over this album, because like just the fact they have a song called Charlie Brown makes me just shake my head.
Did you notice at the very end,
like that.
It's kind of like there's almost a riff of the Peanuts song.
Is there? I didn't notice.
I don't know. It was like the Peanuts Christmas song, like sure. for just a couple beats of it.
I'm going to go listen to that again.
Sure.
You found the Easter egg.
So let's give this thing a score. I'm sure it's going to be high.
The Scope score is 1.75 star.
Highly negative.
I feel like we should have gone lower given our comments.
You know,
nothing on it though makes me say, God, turn this off.
Yeah, it's just below average.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah.
Well, right, Shane, are you going to share how we came into this score today?
How do we? Were we new?
We all had the exact same.
Yeah.
Knew score. It and masturbating each wow. other in your car.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't know. How do we do that?
No, just we're all, like I said, different levels of liking Coldplay,
sure.
yet we all
yeah,
came
I mean,
in and said, what do you think of this song? What do you think of this?
How we give scores is that we take
the Scopatron 5000 listens to us and comes up with its assessment.
Perfect mathematical representation.
Yeah,
we have a
highly complex formula, but at the end of the day, we were all on the same page on this. There was no dissenters. So
with the same score that we average out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a disappointing outing. I like Coldplay enough where I wish that we could have given them a higher score, but it was disappointing.
Does this color or change your desire to see them live?
No, I still want to see them live.
It does for me because I don't want to see them on this tour. So I'm going to have to hope that the next album is very good. And then
so you're saying wait.
I don't want to see it on this tour. I don't want to hear seven or eight tracks from this album at the concert if I'm going to see them for the first time.
Okay, so I have to wait to see them till the next album.
Are these
album.
The songs they played during, because like, they played
a lot of these songs over years, yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know. I'd have to imagine, granted they are five albums in, they might not play as many off the new album, but for the most part, you're going to get six or seven tracks off of a new album from a band, and then three, four from however they want to sprinkle it out.
Or if you're Foo Fighters, you're going to play almost all of the new album, and then almost all of every other
almost
song.
Almost every
you have.
Song they've ever made.
Yeah.
So there we go. Foo Fighters behind, or Foo Fighters. Well, Coldplay behind us. Oh, hopefully some
Junk
good,
FM.
Junk FM always ahead of us. So let's wrap it up with one final segment we like to call Coming Soon. This is that time of year where just everything is hitting full cylinder. Mega power, a lot of pop culture stuff out there, Adam.
Yeah.
Rub your beard on that mic protector and then read away.
So I really like that you said that, and I'm going to lead off and say, for music, November 1st, Megadeth coming out with an album.
Was it intentional? I do not know.
Megadeth.
Look at Jared's doing it, too.
He doesn't even have a mic protector.
Everybody could do it. That's all
I
got.
He doesn't have a pop. Okay.
We're very beardy today, collectively.
Mine has an afro.
You first, Al. Go.
Okay.
And then me. And then Jared, he's the next level of beard. And then Adam.
I won't do it.
Come on, Adam.
Okay, now guess who it is.
Guess that beard.
Adam's rubbing his pubes on me. Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a beard.
And you can't hear anything because he's smooth down there.
I call it my penis beard. Music, yeah. So Megadeth does have an album coming out. It's called 13, and they've put numerals in.
Does that mean they've had 13 albums?
I don't know.
Let's say yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Also, Florence and the Machine.
Fans of Anvil.
Florence and the Machine have an album
coming out. Dog Days Are Over. I hear their first single off that album is pretty good.
Right. I like their last album, so I'll get this one.
I'll guess 10 years from now that we'll only be listening to the Dog Days Are Over, yeah. And that's all we'll hear.
I like that song.
And I like that song.
It's certainly overstayed its welcome, considering I think it came out in 2008 or whatever.
Yeah.
Ridiculous that was. Justin Bieber, Under the Mistletoe.
Is this
the Biebs' first holiday album?
Bieber, hater of Amy Klobuchar.
He hates her?
Thinks she should be thrown in jail.
Why?
She's sponsoring legislation that would make it a felony to unauthorize to stream media without authorization or something like that.
Yeah. Make YouTube illegal.
Yeah, I don't know who she is, but she should be thrown in jail.
Well Biebs has got a point. Yeah.
He's a smart kid. Let's see. Lou Reed and Metallica. Mm-hmm. Album's coming out.
Lou Metallica.
And They Might Be Giants have a new album coming out, which Jared will be seeing performed live.
Yeah, their new album's like a bunch of rarities and stuff. It's not like a new studio album, which that one came out over the summer.
Okay.
November 8th, Noel Gallagher and his solo band.
The highly anticipated.
I've heard a track off of it.
I've heard two, and I like them both a lot.
Okay. Is he just going under his name, or does he have a band name?
Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds.
Okay.
Is that a reference to giving Flicking the
Bird?
I
don't know, but I hope so.
He hopes so.
Is he just an Angry Birds fan?
Yeah.
I can't wait till they bring back MTV Unplugged, just so he can walk off again. Yeah.
I will.
Did
I'll
he
just,
walk off, or was it Liam?
Liam walked out.
They're the same person.
No.
They're never in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. One's always in shadows in the concert.
I'll just give everyone a brief hint. There's a track on there called Stop the Clocks, and supposedly...
It's about Coldplay?
No.
Hating Coldplay?
No, but supposedly the song was written even like two or three albums ago by Oasis and was supposedly the greatest song they've ever written. And they never released it. They released a greatest hits album called Stop the Clocks without the song on it. Because they're dicks.
It's too good for.
I honest to God bought it, just hoping maybe it was a hidden track or something. I was that dumb and naive, but this song is on that album. So
was it supposed to be sung by Noel, or was it supposed to be sung?
No,
by
I Ray? Think it was sung by Noel.
Okay,
so
it's exciting times. So everybody, get ready
for the three
for
of you out there that might like Oasis. That was that's your what's the word I'm looking for.
Inside info. Extra.
I was going to come up and say something different.
But also, Jonathan Coulton.
What?
Jonathan Coulton.
I have a Jonathan Coulton. That's what Metacritic said.
Jonathan Coulton.
Artificial Heart?
Johnny Coltrane?
I mean, maybe that's the official release, but it's been out. Okay. I mean, I haven't. Maybe I guess I haven't gotten the CD yet.
Maybe it's the CD that's coming out or something.
Okay.
Movies. November 4th, A Very Harold and Kumar Christmas in 3D.
Like
I
want to
see
now?
The first
one. Yeah. I've never seen it. Harold.
I think White Castle is hilarious.
Me too.
And it's very Dude, Where's My Car?
Okay. Which I hated that movie.
I didn't like Dude, but I liked it. White Castle.
White Castle is good because it had a really good Chris Maloney appearance. Yeah.
Was that Crap Bag?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crap Bag,
and Tower Heist. Mm-hmm. Tower Heist.
Oh, boy.
Also.
Speaking of comedy past its prime.
And Windows, yeah.
You might be able to say that for Harold and Kumar and for that movie.
Can you imagine if they had kept this as Donald Trump?
They should have. That would have been awesome.
No.
Why?
Because it would have been more Donald Trump that we have to deal with.
Yeah, we don't need him.
Because he would have been in it, you know. November.
The Tower Heist is a very controversial movie because that was one where they were going to do streaming.
Yes.
For $60 or whatever.
I wouldn't
call
it very controversial because I don't think that was ever actually going to happen.
Yeah, they were just...
They were going to stream it to two markets, like... Portland, Oregon, and Atlanta for $60.
Huge Tower Heist. You know, and they love skyscraper comedies. They're known
for. I think it's something that could have happened and nobody would have noticed.
I was going to say, is it
because nobody would have bought it.
No.
I was going to say, is it controversial if I haven't heard about it?
I guess it does not.
Right. Yes, exactly. November 11th, J. Edgar.
Directed by Clint Eastwood.
Yep. So that actually comes out on the Wednesday.
Has to be nominated then, right?
More than likely.
Okay. Your go-to biopic guy, what's his name?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think he'll be dressing up in drag in that?
I don't think they're. I don't think they're including that.
Immortals. I don't remember what that one is.
That's the 300 type movie.
Oh, 11, 11, 11.
Yeah,
it's like Greek mythology or some shit.
Fake Greek mythology.
Jack and Jill. Is that like a horror movie?
No.
It is a horror movie, yes.
Yeah, it's Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
Oh.
It's a horrible, horrible, horrible movie.
Speaking of comedy bastards. Right.
Yeah, there we go. It's a theme, Jared.
Yeah.
DVDs.
Much like this show.
Cars 2.
Yes.
Crazy Stupid Love. It's Beast Wars, the complete series. Transformers.
Wow.
Atlas Shrugged, Part 1.
We loved it.
Oh, God.
We loved it.
Still haven't heard confirmation on Part 2.
Yeah. they're gauging audience interest.
Doctor Who, the sixth series, Part 2, and The Change-Up.
The Change-Up.
Ugh.
You didn't like that, Ryan Reynolds? Jason Bateman?
I should say I didn't like the trailer.
Didn't like the trailer. I'm with you.
So what else? Therefore, it sucks.
That's all.
That's all we need.
Vice versa.
The Kurt Cameron, Dudley Moore, Switcheroonie. What was that
21
called?
Or whatever? No.
Forever.
Dead at 21?
Yeah.
They should have made it a little more face-off like.
Yeah, you actually scrape somebody's face off their body.
Video games.
Yes.
Uncharted 3. Mm-hmm. Does anyone in here own a PS3?
I do.
No.
And I own Uncharted 2, and I played it like 10 minutes, and I never went back.
Oh, supposedly.
But it's supposed to be one of the best games ever.
I have three PS1s, though.
Linked together. Lord of the Rings, War in the North. This game had a $30 credit for a limited time on Amazon, and I nearly bought it. That is, in other words, a $60 game that you're getting a $30 credit for, half price, as a pre-order.
What does that say about the game?
Probably nothing good.
Okay.
NCIS, the game.
Everyone wants that.
And GoldenEye 007 Reloaded. Who played GoldenEye on their game N64?
Of course I did.
Like everyone did.
That was a classic.
Did you play?
I have 8 Nintendo.
perfect. Do you remember playing 4-player? Like,
oh yeah,
split screen?
Oh absolutely.
What size TV did you play that on?
We played it on a 20-inch, and then I had a 32-inch that we played on.
Okay, so yours is the best one.
Yeah.
We played that on a 17-inch TV.
Oh,
I can't imagine how we got by.
Yeah.
How close frame did rate? You sit?
We all sat like the like where the couch was.
And we played it for hours.
Hours at a time. Like, slappers, Jared.
Yeah, slappers only.
Get mad at people when they look at the map?
Oh, yeah. I used to get shit for that all the time. That was my secret weapon, which wasn't a secret.
And then
he was there for everyone to see.
How'd you know he was there? Because I'm looking at your screen, dummy.
And then November 6th, here's where shit gets real.
Okay.
Skyrim comes out.
Everyone's talking about that.
Modern Warfare 3.
That's another hugey.
Lego Harry Potter.
Okay. Which one of these does not belong?
Phase, whatever, years 5 through 7.
There you go.
Heavy Fire Afghanistan, The Chosen Few. That is Heavy Fire : Afghanistan - The Chosen Few. It's too long of a name if you have to use two different types of.
Is this like an established series?
A lot of
another
never
iteration
of it?
No.
Okay. When's Occupy Wall Street
coming on? I think a lot of games probably have good elements. I feel like Batman Arkham City has a bunch of Occupy Wall Street.
Yes.
Items in it. And
you're saying they're all criminals.
Metal Gear Solid HD Collection. So if you never played Metal Gear Solid,
there's your opportunity.
There's your opportunity. A lot of stuff coming out. A lot of video games.
That's what happens with video games. Jared.
Yeah?
We've made it through Coming Soon.
Awesome. Should I close it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a Coldplay song.
Under the Scope.
What goes on here, Shane?
I'd like to listen to it. I've never actually heard that because I'm always talking over it.
Is that Brian Eno?
If you produce stuff for GarageBand, then yes. It's just something I assemble out of GarageBand loops.
No, way to spoil the magic.
Sorry.
Yeah, we won't tell them how we come up with the scope score.
They won't.
This is the part of the show where we do comments, Shane.
It is.
And there were a bunch of comments on the website, but it was all Napoleon Dynamite stuff, and we cover that in the A block. But we did have a voicemail from the only user of our voicemail system, the great Luke Ski.
A world famous, I hear. He's on the AV Onion Club.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about onions and all the root vegetables.
We're covering beets and rutabagas.
Sometimes even legumes.
Yes. Awesome. I think this call has something to do with our discussion of movies we didn't like, probably leaning more towards Wild Wild West. So let's give a listen and hear what Luke Ski has to say.
I love it.
Here we go.
Hey, this is Luke Ski. I seem to remember when I went to see Wild Wild West, coming away from seeing the film in the theater with a general sense of having enjoyed it. However, this was back in 99 when I was still making a specific effort to buy movies on VHS or DVD that I liked. And while I own both of the Men in Black films, I never bought Wild Wild West on VHS or DVD, and I don't think I've ever actually watched the film since I saw it in the theater. So that probably says a lot towards whether or not I genuinely liked it or it was just me enjoying another movie-going experience because I enjoy seeing films. The whole Wild Wild West Men in Black thing reminded me that there's a new Men in Black movie in the works, and from what I heard, they started filming the movie before they had a script finished. So I'm curious what you guys thought about all that, and maybe you could report on it in the future as things develop. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Luke Ski apparently calling us from the Apollo 12 capsule orbiting the moon.
he's got a lot of work to do. Adam, turn your phone on for a second. Load up that Siri, and I want you to ask. Turn it up loud, and I want you to ask it if Wild Wild West is a good movie.
All right.
Let's see what it says.
Turning it up loud.
Okay.
Ringer. I don't know if that's what it wants to be up loud.
All right. Push the button so we can hear it.
Was Wild Wild West a good movie?
Put it in the front.
Don't let her beard.
Do you realize that your speaker is going to be up by your earphone?
I can't answer that, but I could search the web for it if you like.
No, she doesn't.
No, don't bother. thank you, Siri.
Did Coldplay start recording the album before they had songs?
I think that's what it was. Yeah. Wow.
So I think Luke's on to something. He may have enjoyed the experience of going to see the movie, maybe the people he was with, but he probably didn't enjoy the film enough to purchase it for his own future viewing at home.
If he would have saw it in the theater that we saw it in, he would not have liked that movie-going experience either.
Did you guys talk about the funny Kevin Smith Superman tie-in?
Yes.
Okay. That's one of my favorite.
The giant mechanical spider.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite anecdotes about that movie.
We mainly talked about the racism.
Yeah, there's a lot of racism in that movie. Uh-huh.
Am I right to say that Wild Wild West was the movie where Nod Your Head was the single, was the Will Smith single from that movie?
Was it?
Well, Wild Wild West was the single.
Okay, which one was Nod Your Head?
Are you sure you're not thinking
I think that's I think that's Men in Black 2.
Okay.
I think it's like Nod Your Head, Black Suit's Coming or some shit like that.
Okay. Nice.
It was on the other day, Men in Black 2, I think.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Nod Your Head.
No. I think both of those movies hold up. I think both of those Men in Black movies hold up.
I like them.
Yeah.
What do you think about 3, though, filming without a script finished? I don't know if that is such a big deal as some people would like to make it out to, because I think a lot of films
Iron Man did it. They were rewriting as they were going.
Just because it's not finished doesn't mean, the set pieces are done and, aren't done.
The plot behind that, Men in Black 3 seems to be, a going back in time, so they're dealing with young agents, so that could be kind of cool.
I'll give it a try, I think.
Excuse me.
That's it for comments. If you have any comments you'd like to send to the show, you can write us at comments@thescopeshow.com. Please call the voicemail line if you have a voice that's worth hearing.
Yes.
That is 612-21-SCOPE, 612-217-2673. You should probably call us second when you're in jail. I would recommend calling your lawyer first.
Don't waste it on us.
Yeah. Don't listen to these
guys. We're not going to get to it until the next show.
No.
So
if
you time it, maybe. You only have to spend a couple days in jail.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
If you beat your wife and you can't start for the Vikings the next day, then feel free to call us first.
Yeah,
you're not getting out for a couple days.
You can also keep in touch with us on Facebook and on Twitter. Links to those are on our website at thescopeshow.com.
Yes.
Yes. I always like to mention that, the Amazon thing's still doing pretty well for us.
Mm-hmm.
Just got paid again a couple days back. And it slowed down a little bit this past month. But
sorry.
With the holidays kicking in.
Yeah, there's no excuse.
Don't forget, if you're shopping at Amazon, go to our website first and click on the link. And a small portion of your purchase will head our way and help fund our shenanigans that we do here. And it will not cost you any extra.
No.
If you also want to give us money directly, you can click donate on our website. $5 donation gets you sponsorship of an episode, and we will mention your name right at the very top.
And at the bottom.
And the middle.
And you could also be the first to take advantage of our $2 a month recurring subscription if you really like the show.
Wonder if we should do that sometime. We don't even do that.
Back to you, Shane.
So, it's a great show. It's nice to have the gang back together. Jared, did you want to plug your show before?
I would like to, because I don't know if we're going to get another show in before then.
It's hard to say.
I have two shows coming up. One is in 2 weeks. It is WindyCon, in Chicago.
Very nice.
So if you're in the Chicago area and you're going to WindyCon, please check us out. Convention runs November 11th through the 13th. My band, Possible Oscar, is performing an acoustic set, and it will be only half of the band, myself and Nathan, making the trip. We are on Saturday night, 9 p.m. And I don't know exactly what room it is in yet, but...
And if you're a cute girl wanting to hit on Jared, forget it, because you're getting nowhere. I will lock it down.
Shut it down. Shut it down. The other show is co-build show with a friend of the show, Adam, and his band, Thos Quanta. That is coming up Friday, November 18th at Club Underground in Minneapolis. That is in the basement of the Spring Street Tavern, if you don't know. It's a bar. Anyone can go. $5 cover, 21 plus, 9 p.m., I believe, is when I go on, and the rest of the band.
Not just
you. It's a Friday night, so come on out and help support nerdy music.
There you go.
There will be three bands, DJ sets in between bands, and giveaways from J-Lab Audio or something. Oh, they have, like, earbuds and stuff. Free, fun. You could win free stuff.
Fun.
Nice.
It's fun stuff. So is that it, Jared?
That is it.
That's it. Well, great plug. Al, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. You can follow me at musicsnob underscore Al underscore MJ.
A lot of underscores.
Yes. He's really, it's really fun to say. So
he's one of our biggest contributors to the Twitter news feed. Yeah.
So for music commentary, ratings, reviews, endless countdowns, please follow.
He does a good job of it. It's a lot of useful information there.
Yeah, if you don't want to type in all those underscores, you can go to the Twitter, the Scopes Twitter feed, and I will often retweet Al's album reviews when he puts them out. So
very good,
much find him there.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Adam, thank you for being here. Yes. We've missed you.
You're very welcome. I've missed you too.
Thank you,
and the listeners.
I mostly miss your new phone because I like its technology.
I think I forgot an underscore in there.
Is there another underscore?
Yeah. It starts with one.
I miss underscore you.
Yeah. Right, just go to twitter.com/thescopeshow, look for Al's retweets, and then you can follow him.
Just follow,
there.
It's not hard.
Do it there.
It's not hard.
Well, you follow the Scope Show while you're at it.
Yeah, do. Why not? So let's wrap this up. 116, a great episode.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll do it again with a 117 sometime in the new future. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to our listeners. We'll see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying, hey, though. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.